Hare Krishna. Sorry that I was a little late. You can hear me? Someone else say hello again?
Hare Bhava Maharaj.
Thanks, Shastra. So, what I'm going to do today, rather than do the Bhagavatam, do something with Nrisingadev. Anybody in the area, I think we will have a very nice program today. We will the Abhishek at 10 o'clock. I'll give class at 11 o'clock. 12 o'clock will be kirtan, and then we'll have a drama in the theater by the Bhakti Center Drama Group. It's just a blessing, really, to have such a vibrant spiritual center developing, where I see that people happily can take shelter. I was discussing yesterday in my Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class, first principle devotional service is Gurupada Shraya, and I asked people what shelter means. Well, you feel protected, you feel safe, you feel nourished, you feel loved. And in a particular relationship, really, Guru represents Krishna, like the viceroy represents the king. But the shelter you feel for the viceroy is the shelter you feel for the king, because he represents that shelter. And a shelter in the instructions for your benefit, the care for your benefit, God with everything for your benefit, that is your shelter. So the temple is supposed to represent that, and you see people can take shelter. Shelter is a humble position. Taking shelter is a humble position. But people want that humble position. Like a young child in the arms of their mother, they're happy with that. But the main thing they're happy with is not just the maintenance and the care, but the fact that it represents love, which is the ultimate need. Which is the ultimate need of the soul. So I don't know. Maybe this is like a practice class, my 11 o'clock class, but I think it'll go in a different way. Because they're going to have a drama and people know the story. What I want to cover is the main messages of the story. And it's such a vast story. I mean, it covers seven chapters of the Bhagavatam. And I believe this is one of the stories that Lord Chaitanya used to listen to at the Tota Gopinath. He would go there to learn how to get the mood of Radha from Radha, who appeared as Gadadhar, who was taking care of those deities. And, you know, Radha means worship, to serve. So you learn from these stories faith in Krishna. You learn devotion. So there's such beautiful, beautiful stories. But the first question I wanted to ask, where it starts, is where does the story begin? So you can all think, if you actually know where the story begins. Well, the story begins with Maharaj Prickett. He's hearing the Bhagavatam, and he just hears a story how to favor the... that Vishnu sides with the demigods to defeat the demons. And Maharaj Prickett is a good disciple. So when he hears something that doesn't fit his frame of reference, he raises his doubts. He doesn't challenge. But what doesn't make sense to him is that seems that God is impartial. That's a material quality. That's the quality which we're born into the material world with. We're born into this world overcome with the dualities of desire and hate. I like this. I hate this. Where you expect that the supreme absolute reality, it's just like a father. He'll love all his children, even if a child becomes against him or a child is bad, or, you know, he'll deal with them in a different way. So if a father has that kind of impartiality to those whom he gives shelter to, then how can God favor one and the other? So this is the question he wants to ask. So it begins right there. Sukadeva Goswami, very nice. First, he explains the philosophical point involved, how God can never be partial, and then illustrates it with the story. And it's a story within a story within a story within a story. So the story he illustrates it with is the Rajasuya Yajna, big sacrifice. And the culture, this is a cultural principle in India, is that you always have ahead of something to make it go forward. I mean, just like the Bhakti Center, they wanted to make a committee to run it. It doesn't work. Decisions don't get made. So in any relationship, a family, you know, they should be ahead. Otherwise, it's just fighting. So in assembly, there's always a chief presiding person. Even if the ceremony is just a temporary, this is a huge sacrifice. So the person that they make in charge was Krishna. And Krishna had two cousins from his maternal aunt named Sishupal and Dantavakra, who were completely envious. It's so insidious how this enters into the heart. They were completely envious of him. And even when Sishupal was a young child, in broken language, he would tell his mother how much he hated Krishna. You know, and envy is a very subtle thing. It kind of matches your false ego with someone else's false ego that you perceive as a competitor. And usually it's in someone in the same class as you, the same category. Like if you're a brahmachari, you don't get envious of the sannyasis. You get envious of another brahmachari, you know, or disciples. You know, it's kind of a person in your category. We create our own worlds. Well, you know, hey, I can't be the god of everything, but let me be the god of my own little world. Let me be the god of my own little world. And so envious. And he objects and actually curses Krishna. And Krishna takes out his Sudarshana Chakra and throws it, and he kills them, cuts off their heads. And then everybody sees somehow or other that this Shishupal gets liberated. And Yudhisthira is watching this, and Narada Muni sitting there watching this, and Yudhisthira asks Narada Muni, how can someone be so envious? You know, usually, you know, their tongue, you know, gets white leprosy, or, you know, and nothing happened to the guy, gets liberation. And of course, this is an answer to the question of God's impartiality. That whether he benedicts one or he kills one, it's an equal benediction. And that's something we have to realize in all our own life, that our joys and our sorrows are all a benediction, because it's all about the soul, it's all about consciousness, and it's all about elevating the soul to the highest consciousness. So, somehow or other, that question is answered by this story. And so another philosophical point is that the liberation was that, and it's another very, very important point, that we're connected to an object with emotion more than anything else. And that's what Raganuga Bhakti means. That your bhakti will be most forceful, not when it's simply done because of an understanding, but because of an attraction. Course of an attraction. It'll become so by an attraction. Narada Muni quotes verses how different people, the gopis out of lust, of course it's not lust, it's love. But they're out of that emotion. That's why bhakti is so powerful. The meditation is out of emotion. Kamsa by fear. Sishupal by envy. The Vrishnis from affection. Different, I forgot the different ones. It's a famous verse. So they became liberated in this way. And then, I'm not sure if it's Narada or Sukadeva, but the narration continues. And this is the famous story of Jai and Vijay, the gatekeepers. When the four Kumaras were young boys, they came and they refused, but they were powerful mystics who chose to remain, you know, children without sex desire. And they had power. And they cursed Jai and Vijay. Of course, it was a service for God to enjoy Vira Ras, the Ras of chivalry. Even the devotees have to take that role, but they're cursed to take three births. And he said, they said the three births are Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, then Ravana and Kumbhakarna, then Dantavakta and Sishupal. he said, I forgot, someone else has already explained the Ramayana. You can learn about Kumbhakarna and Ravana, but Ram appeared to kill them. So he begins to tell the story of Hiranyakashipu. Which is a fascinating, fascinating story, the story of Hiranyakashipu. It's just a fascinating story. First, his brother gets killed by Vishnu. Hiranyaksha gets killed by Vishnu, and he decides to take revenge. He wants to kill Vishnu and those who support Vishnu, and to kill those who support Vishnu, he orders his demon friends to destroy. Basically, the Brahmin stop sacrifice. You know, without sacrifice, nayam lokasya yagyasya kruta yakrusa. Without sacrifice, there is no happiness in this life or the next, and to kill the cows. The cows, wow, so auspicious. So auspicious, the cows. Really just so auspicious. And to kill the cows. What's very, very interesting is, of course, then there's the story of Hiranyakashipu performing these austerities to get great power. And that's just the principle of how the world works. The world is so constructed. Sahayaya prajashrishva parovacha. Sahayagya Parovacha. Krishna, what is it? Parovacha. I remember. It's organized for sacrifice. Because of material people because people are materialistic, sacrifice is rewarded. And the greatest sacrifice is tapasya. So if you perform great tapasya, great austerities, you can get power. And Hiranyakashipu is performing such great austerities that Lord Brahma was afraid that he would usurp his position, so he forced Lord Brahma to come down and give him a benediction. And we know that the benediction that he wanted was you know, to be immortal. So he tried to cover all his bases, but you can never cover all your bases. From a material standpoint, you can't get liberation. Because liberation is a matter of consciousness. Liberation is a matter of realizing who you are. And as long as you have materialistic consciousness, then the universe responds by covering you from your real self, which is a servant of God, because you don't want that. You turn away from that. So he couldn't cover all his bases, and that's going to be shown at the end of the story. You just can't. Liberation is consciousness, and it's simply wanting to be who you are. So to want liberation by wanting immortality so you can control the world is an oxymoron, because to control the world can only happen in illusion. And illusions can never be sustained because they don't have any real basis. It's all changing of kind. Is that, you know, what is our spiritual life? Our spiritual life is simply wanting to become what we are. And therefore, we have to be attracted to it. And what we are is servants of God. So we have to be attracted to God. And then get that incredible, sublime feeling in the heart of what it's like to serve God. That can't be achieved materially by definition. So no one can grant liberation. Liberation is something you have to want. But do you want it? Remember the old days, someone said, well, you know, Prabhupada once said that, you know, there's an ISKCON of the spiritual world, and things were going so bad they didn't know if they wanted to go there. You can only go by changing your consciousness. Changing your consciousness. And then it's interesting also because he became so powerful that he conquers Indra and he sits on Indra's throne and he still remains dissatisfied. Because what was his desire? It was to control, but you're not God, so you can never control. In fact, when you try to control, you are controlled. Because you're being controlled by your desires. Eric Fromm, I think he said, you know, real freedom is freedom from want. Not just freedom to. He had all the power to do, have freedom to. He didn't have freedom from want. So he was still dissatisfied. And we will be dissatisfied as long as we have desires to control, because we'll always be threatened by them. We'll always be threatened by them. But the demigods are also in anxiety, because even though they're very saintly, and they still have desires, you know, and they're attached. They've achieved some power, and they're also attached. Even though they're using their power in service by regulating the universe and doing their duties, doesn't mean they can't become attached. They're becoming attached. So they're also in anxiety. So they approach Vishnu. And Vishnu makes a very, very beautiful point. He explains that, that Aranyakashipu is already finished because of the envy of the demigods and the envy of his own son. You are finished when you hate a devotee. You're already finished. You're already finished. Harm is not what happens to you. Harm is how you react. Harm is your own consciousness. That's what harms you, not other things. That's why God sometimes takes things away from us. He's not harming us. What's harming us is our consciousness. And he's so-called doing things to us that are a little difficult to actually elevate our consciousness. So, Vaishnav Aparad, Sadhu Ninda, it destroys everything. It's called the mad elephant offense. You know, you can protect your garden. Okay, if you have to pull out some weeds, you can protect your garden. But if a mad elephant comes, your fence or your weed, nothing will protect your garden. So Vaishnava Aparad is the mad elephant offense. And the mad lion offense is when you offend a guru. You're already destroyed. You're already destroyed. So, Narada, it explains that Hiranyakashipu had four sons, and one is this Prahlad. And then, you know, Narada explains to Yudhisthira that he tortured his son, and said, well, how can you torture your son? You know, I mean, you can punish your son. You can't torture your son. And then the Bhagavatam will describe Prahlad, Ishakanta Manvita. So one of the functions of the Bhagavatam, one of his 10 subjects, is stories of the Lord and his devotees. Very important to hear the stories of the devotees, because the devotees exhibit a particular consciousness that we have to emulate. A particular consciousness that we have to emulate. And it's funny, when they describe Prahlad, you know, as a great devotee, two things are described. Many things are described, but one is that he has deep love, and he's a person who can reciprocate love. And that's why we worship Krishna. He's a Kilarasa Mrita Murti. He's the embodiment of all love. He can reciprocate all love. And he would cry, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. And sometimes you'd imagine that Vishnu would appear and he would say, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And he had full faith in Krishna's protection. Although he's the son of the king, he had riches, aristocracy, he was prideless, he was selfless and dedicated, and he would worship his teacher, the spiritual master, and his elders, even his elder godbrothers as God. He would be very sympathetic to his brothers. A menial servant to those above him. He was kind to everyone. To the poor, he was compassionate. So Maharaj Yudhisthira's doubt was, how can such an affectionate son be tortured? How can he harm such a great devotee? So then they start to tell the story of Prahlad. He's in school, and it describes, interesting, how he became enlightened, because when the demigods, when Hiranyakashipu left for austerities, then the demons were routed, and Prahlad, mother, is taken to the ashram of Narada, where he starts to explain to her the Bhagavatam, and he just somehow or other learns it in the womb. It's one of the examples where bhakti has no prerequisite even to be born. A mother, when she's pregnant, she can just go Ram, Ram, Hare Krishna, and the child will get benefit. So So many things he learned. But, you know, really what you really learn is just how to get there. But the ultimate goal of materialistic life is futile. You may use satisfaction of your desires as a temporary objective, but not as an ultimate objective in itself. You may want to be satisfied and peaceful, but there's a higher objective. But a lot of times people don't see the higher objective, and they just stick on the just being satisfied and I'll be happy when. No, you won't be happy until you change your consciousness. But I will be happy when I'm married and peacefully settled because of the situation and I can change my consciousness. But not for that in itself. Or I'll be happy when I get a good job, but not for a good job in itself, because then I'll become peaceful and I can pursue my spiritual life. So very heavy instructions sometimes. Heavy instructions not to make that the ultimate goal. Not to make that the ultimate goal. And you'll hear very heavy instructions. How material life is futile. And the illusion of material life is to think that your temporary situation is the eternal situation. The temporary situation is the material situation. So that you preach. You waste your life. 10 years in youth, 10 years in childhood, 50 years, you're half the sleeping, half a rupee. You know, by the time you get, where's the life? And we weave this beautiful thing, but it seems to entrap us. And his father really didn't like this. His father called him, what is the best thing you learned today? That this temporary body and attachment to this temporary situation is an embarrassment and suffering. And that people like you should go to Vrindavan. Whoa. Told the teachers, hey, well, we didn't know anything about this. We'll instruct them again. So they instruct him, and then they take him back, and it gets worse. What's the best thing you learn? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Satyam, chanting, hearing, worshiping, offering prayers. Where have you got this? Vatir na Krishne Purato Swababo Matopapadyeta Grihabhatanam Adanta Gobir Vishitam Tamisram Puna Puna Punaschavatam Chavatarnam. Let me just get that verse. That's a wonderful verse, 7:1. I really just want to find it. Take me a second. I love these verses. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Sadhu manye suravarya dehinam sadasumagvigyadiram mashakrihat. O best of the asuras, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certain embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. Once you give up this position and go to the forest, more clearly, once you go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and once you thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the intelligence spoiled by the words of the enemy. So they taught him. Then they brought him back to the father. Now please repeat. Please repeat, what is the best thing you've learned? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atnanavedanam Iti Pumsar Pita Vishnu Bhaktischen Navalakshana Vieta Bhagavatya Datanmanye Dita Uttamam. The nine process devotional service is the best thing. The one who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these methods, nine methods, understood the most learned person because he acquired complete knowledge. What is this nonsense, his father said? Where have you gotten this information? Yes. Matirna Krishna Paratasvatova Mitopapadyeta Grihabhatanam Adanta Gobir Vishatan Tamisam Punas Punascharvata Charvananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to material life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combined effort. And then, of course, we know that he appears and kills them. Anybody like to say hello? Ask any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I have two. Can I get two or have two one?
You can get two.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay. One is, you said that Krishna Maharaj raised his doubt. How is it that Krishna allowed his son Prahlad to be tortured? So what was the answer to that? I'm going to mute my phone.
I'm not sure who asked that question. That may have been you. I'm not sure where that comes in the story. You know, the first talk was about impartial. I don't think he asked him the question why, you know, tell him about, you know, yeah, well, why did he torture his son? And the answer was, he didn't ask why do good things happen to bad people. He said, well, why did he torture his son? And he told this story how his son, that, you know, Hiranyakashipu was a demon and that his son defied him. Now, if he asked the question, why such a saintly person gets, I think that question was asked last night in Jayadvaita Marja's class or the yesterday morning or today morning. And he glorifies his devotee. Jayadvaita Marja gave the example that if Prabhupada came to America on a, you know, private jet and he was received by corporate heads, then what would be the glory? So sometimes he puts the devotees under difficulty for his glories. And also to teach others who can't tolerate that. And at the same time, you know, pure devotees like that, like Prahlad, were completely protected. That's the answer. Gail?
Okay, thank you. And then the other question was, you had said that, I forget why you made this point, but you said that, you know, you can't run something like the Bhakti Center by a committee, you need a head. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, he instituted the GBC, so, you know, how do
you reconcile? Yeah, I guess as a legislative body, it can work, but as an executive body, he made GBCs. He made people that were the head, and he made temple presidents, and he supported the system. He supported them, actually, even sometimes when they made mistakes. So Prabhupada actually didn't know that principle. But I've seen places that are run by boards And no one takes, you know, no one accepts responsibility. Harry Truman, who is was my father's favorite president. His name is Give Him Hell Harry. He had a sign on his desk, the buck stops here. So, and, you know, it's hard in the modern age, you know, because people abuse power, and therefore, even though it's less efficient, sometimes more collegial arrangements are better, you know? So, yeah. Okay, Gail?
Okay, thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is this, Nanda Dulal?
Yes, Maharaj, I have a question, Sunil.
Yes.
You spoke very nicely that, you know, we have to have the material desire list, otherwise, you know, we don't get the devotion. That I agree in one sense, but, you know, like, you know, even the devotees, they have desire. Like, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Chakali Ashanto, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atav Shanto. But still, we are looking for, you know, love of Godhead. That's also our desire.
Yeah, you can, you know, we have desires. But the desire for love is the desire to please someone else's desire. It's a desire, but it's a selfless desire, love. Everyone has desires. Yes, we're sentient. We have desires. But what do you desire? You know, and that's a spiritual desire. It's not a material desire. We're desiring to serve and help others. We're desiring to surrender and serve the will of others. We're just desiring to be in the world of Guru and Krishna. So yes, that's a desire, but it's not the desire for ourselves.
Thank you,
okay.
Mark. Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Guru Maharaj, Hare Krishna, this is Champaka.
Champaka, what are you doing? Making more garlands?
Yes, I just wanted to ask a question.
By the way, the garland for Krishna today was especially beautiful when we took the darshan this morning.
Okay. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. I wanted to ask, Prabhupada Maharaj's mother was so devotional. Prahlad Maharaj's mother?
Yeah.
Why did she marry a demon?
yeah, you mean she was devotional, right? But,
yeah.
Well, I saw in Vrindavan sometimes, where it's like that sometimes. You know, you have these mafia families, but they have chaste wives. You know, they have, you know, they'll be like, you know, a mafia family. You know, they're doing it, but, you know, they have a nice Catholic wife who chants her rosary. So it's not unheard of for people who don't, you know, sometimes. It's all some kind of karma, but somehow or other, what was I reading? I think it was Prahlad's instructions today that said, you know, someone could drop money on the street and come back and it's still there, and someone could hide his money in a safe and it can be stolen. So there's the rule of God. So, and, you know, even these demons, you know, when his brother died, he pacified his sister-in-laws by very, very good philosophy. So, you know, they were still in a cultured thing. And there was also, you know, Rakshasa marriages where a demon could capture someone. And there's all kinds of ways that could happen. Okay, Champak?
Okay, thank you, Gurmaj.
Thank you for that nice question. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna, this is
today.
Nan.
Who is it?
Hanan and Sweet.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Happy Nisringa Dev's appearance. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll go to today. I have to get to class.